and on the west side of Cook Inlet. According to the Departments of Law and the Departments of Fish and Game, the Board of Fisheries must now provide for subsistence net fisheries in those locations for all Alaskans who desire to take fish for their personal use. Under the court's interpretation of existing statutes, this priority fishing effort will in fact displace sporting commercial fisheries, probably leading to drastic cutbacks for sport fishermen and significant reductions in the catches of our commercial fisheries. The Madison case could also cause substantial displacements in the Copper River salmon fishery. Last year, the Department of Fish and Game issued 562 subsistence permits to watershed residents and 5,328 personal use fishing permits to other Alaskans. Also accommodated were a major sport fishery and the commercial fishery at the mouth of the Copper River, which, as many of you know, is the mainstay for the Prince William Sound economy. Under Madison, the personal use dip netters are considered subsistence users and must be given the subsistence priority over commercial and sport fishermen. According to Fish and Game, the commercial fishery probably would have to be cut back substantially, if not completely eliminated. The impact of Madison, however, will not be limited to the salmon fisheries alone. The Department of Fish and Game reports that the court ruling probably will put most or all of the state's big game guides out of business. The growing guiding and recreation industries, which depend upon out-of-state users of Alaska Fish and Game, can easily be crippled by this decision. I regret that in terms of problems, these impacts may represent only the tip of the iceberg. Mr. Speaker, history shows that these situations can be very divisive to our state and can cause significant disruptions in the primary livelihoods of many Alaskans. Thousands of Alaskans is a correct statement, I believe. In addition to upsetting the delicately balanced allocations among users of Alaska's fish and wildlife resources, the court decision raises the specter of federal management of our fish and game. The Department of Law has reported that the Madison ruling probably puts Alaska out of compliance with the provisions of ANILCA, which gives subsistence priorities in fish and wildlife management to rural residents. Governor Sheffield has promised to introduce legislation early next week that would return fish and wildlife management to the present balance achieved in the last couple of years prior to the Madison case. Pause for my prepared remarks to praise our department and our boards of fish and game who have worked very hard and I believe successfully to strike that balance over the last year or so. As we consider the bill that will be provided by the governor and attempt to resolve the problems created by Madison, the legislature must keep two things firmly in mind. First, subsistence fishing and hunting activities represent the primary economic system for our rural Alaska. Alaskans recognized that reality when they voted so overwhelmingly 2 years ago to retain the state's subsistence priority. Second, the current boards of fisheries and game have accomplished an admirable job in providing for the needs of urban and rural Alaskans prior to the Madison case. Disruption of this balance will lead to major suffering by all resource-using groups, guides, sportsmen, personal and commercial and subsistence users alike. Governor Sheffield's legislation will be intended to restore that balance. It is our job in the coming weeks to carefully weigh the needs of present and future generations of Alaskans in the management of fish and game. Let us strive to retain control, state control, over our most critical of natural resources in a manner that truly protects the rights and livelihoods of all rural and urban Alaskans. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further special orders? Representative Pettyjohn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed the privilege of the floor to discuss some events which took place in this building 4 weeks ago.
Could you be more specific? Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative Pettyjohn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As most of you know, a letter was sent to the Attorney General yesterday suggesting that there may be a conflict of interest with regard to the events involving the North Slope and the finances, that financial mismanagement and possible violations of state law that took place over there under the previous borough administration. The response I got from the Attorney General, the one response which I found perhaps uncalled for, was his statement that such a suggestion of a possible conflict was totally ridiculous. Well, I didn't think it was ridiculous at all. I thought it was a serious question. And, Mr. Speaker, I would like to believe that, in fact, there's no conflict there. I would like to have my personal, I'm not talking about the other co-signatories of that letter, but just my personal faith that justice will be done, and even if the wheels of justice are grinding slowly, at least they're grinding, and if there are wrongdoers, they will be properly brought before the bar. And I'd like to share with you, Mr. Speaker, one of the reasons I have some doubts in that regard, and this concerns the events of approximately 4 weeks ago when the audit was released, the Maine Herdman audit on the North Slope Borough activities. Now, during that same week, right after that audit came out, the new mayor of the North Slope Borough, George Mock, came to this Capitol and was told that it would not be appropriate for him to see the governor because of possible legal actions. And I have heard from a number of sources that, in fact, during that same week, that Mr. Lou Dischner went to the governor's office and had a conference with the governor. This is after the release of the audit. Now, I asked the governor this question last night at his mansion, and there were a number of the Anchorage legislators that were there. I asked him if this was true, and he said he could not remember. Now, I am going to request that the governor search his memory. I am going to request that the governor look at the his internal office records and perhaps ask some of his staff to help him with his recollection to see if, in fact, it's true. But the same week that the audit came out, and the same week that he told George Mock that it would not be appropriate for him to have an audience with the governor, during that same week, that Mr. Lou Dischner, who is perhaps the principal in this whole problem that occurred up on the North Slope Borough, went into his office and they had a little conversation about what should and should not take place. And I will await the governor's response with I hope it comes back pretty quickly. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of floor to speak on North Slope visit?
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Mayor, George Mock, at his request, was scheduled to meet with the Governor, Senator Ferguson, and I today. Unfortunately, the Mayor has been taken ill with the flu and unable to come to Juneau today. I say it's unfortunate because this whole episode seems to be sounding like it has purely partisan overtones. The governor has come under attack from a member of this particular body for being slow to react to the North Slope audit reports. Mr. Speaker, I haven't heard of anybody ask the governor to investigate or appoint a special prosecutor to look into the accounting practice of the Juneau Douglas Borough or the municipality of Anchorage. The principle is the same. To the best of my knowledge, the governor has continued. He has continued to follow the reasoned process to determine the extent of any state involvement in the entire matter. For the record, Mr. Speaker, anyone who wishes, any neophyte of this particular body, is free to come to my office and inspect the list of state grants that has been funded to my district, the North Slope Borough, Mr. Speaker. I welcome their visits to look into these. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not only speaking as a neophyte or a member of this body from Anchorage, but as a person who is concerned about good government, I want you to understand that there are answers that will be forthcoming very shortly, I am assured, on this subject. It takes a while for the wheels of justice to grind, and the public has a right to know. And it's not always the person who yells the loudest who speaks with the most force. The answers will be forthcoming, I am assured.
Representative Miller, you are seeking the floor.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I ask permission of the body to speak more or less on this same subject.
Are there any objections? Proceed, Representative Miller.
Well, Mr. Speaker, first of all, I've hesitated to say to rise. My own memory of being in the minority is fairly fresh in my mind, and I can always recall how difficult it is for the minority to find something to talk about. So when the other minority finds something to talk about, I'm not loath to stand up and start telling them not to talk about it, and I'm not doing that right now. But, Mr. Speaker, this is about the fourth or fifth time this issue has been raised on the floor. I would just like to make some observations indicating, I think, some of the positive things that the governor has done in this regard. Further, I would like to at least indicate my some questions, at least, that I have in mind about the propriety of a special prosecutor at this time. Mr. Speaker, first of all, I think we need to set the whole thing in perspective. There is considerable inquiry going on in the North Slope Borough right now. The FBI is up there. The Internal Revenue Service, I'm just taking everything I know from the newspapers, by the way, Mr. Speaker. The FBI is up there. The Internal Revenue Service is up there. The borough is certainly taking a dedicated inquiry into this matter, as well they should, and I applaud their efforts in this regard. That on the unofficial front, there are certainly a number of newspapers that are making inquiry. In fact, as I've been told, at least, that they even have you know, reporters and investigators, or at least investigative reporters, from time to time in Barrow and on the North Slope. I'm not sure how much more light can be spent on the subject if we were to hire a special prosecutor. Mr. Speaker, I would hope that if the if anybody in the administration ever decides that's the way to go, I hope they give it a good, lots of consideration, because I can see a lot of, if nothing else, an awful lot of expense. Now, that's no reason why you shouldn't do that if the Attorney General, for instance, decides that some sort of a investigation should take place, and if he should happen to decide that he himself doesn't want to do it. The expense is not the reason you should hold back. On the other hand, you can't close your eyes to the fact that you can't just hire somebody for $25,000 or $30,000 to, you know, to fly up there quick and dirty and take a quick look and decide whether or not there's any problem. If you're going to do this, you've got to hire, number one, the special prosecutor that you're talking about. Then on top of all that, you should have accountants in on the act. You should have additional investigators in on the act. You've got to have backup employees to do all the, you know, the clerical and drudge work that's consumed with it. There's lots of transportation costs, all of which, if the administration decides that there is a need to inquire, you know, could and would be met. But the fact is, I don't think we can just decide all that fast on the floor of this House it's an awful good idea, when in fact, if it isn't all that good an idea, we could spend, I could see, $250,000 or $300,000. So, Mr. Speaker, I question whether we ought to be sort of making that decision for the administration, for them. Speaker, it's not as if the governor had not taken cognizance of this situation. I was just made aware, as you were a few minutes ago, apparently there was a meeting to take place today that unfortunately had to be canceled, but I'm sure it's going to take place in the very near future. I've been told, at least informally, that the governor has met with the mayor on other occasions. And I'm also read in the newspaper a couple of days ago, although I've got to admit it was in practically tiny little print that maybe I missed it in bigger headlines someplace else, but the story I wrote was in tiny little print on a inside page saying that the governor had indicated there should be a full audit by the Department of Community and Regional Affairs into this into the matter of state dollars that had been sent to the North Slope. That's exactly appropriate. I think the governor did exactly the right thing in initiating or perhaps confirming a program that was suggested by a commissioner or something like that. I think the governor was right on track in doing that, because in this case we are specifically talking about state dollars. Each of our boroughs, the Greater Juneau Borough, the Anchorage Borough, the Fairbanks Borough, all of our boroughs and all of our cities are 100% accountable to the state. And because of the questions that have been raised by the accounting reports that were initiated by the North Slope Borough itself, I think it was entirely appropriate for the governor to you know, set that in motion. So I think the governor, you know, is moving, particularly in the area of state concern, where the state has the, you know, the most apparent the most apparent, you know, need to investigate. I read the letter that the representative, and in fact, is six or so representatives from this floor sent to the Attorney General. I have to say that I disagree with his semantics somewhat. He continued to refer to the Attorney General as you know, your client, or excuse me, I had that backwards. He, in addressing the Attorney General, refers to the governor as your client, which of course we know is not the relationship that actually exists. I mean, if the governor has a private attorney that he pays out of his private funds, then that's, you know, then he is the client. In a very great sense, Mr. Speaker, I'm the Attorney General's client as well, and you know, so are the members who signed that letter. So are you, Mr. Speaker. So indeed are the people of this state. And I just, you know, I sort of object to the semantics on that thing, because that just seemed to imply that a relationship existed that that doesn't exist. I think over the years, and one reason I have consistently opposed an elected attorney general, over the years, with both Republican administrations and with Democratic administrations, I think we've had a very high quality of attorney general, you know, individuals filling that slot. I think we continue to have that situation in the present administration, and I guess I also object to this continual reference to conflict of interest, as if in advising the governor, the Attorney General was not taking into consideration the best interest of the state as a whole, when in fact I have absolutely no reason to think otherwise, and in fact, you know, I do believe that the advice that the Attorney General gives the governor is based on concern for the state of as a whole. I guess I've taken a long time to say more than you perhaps want to hear on this subject, Mr. Speaker, because it is approaching the noon hour. But I just repeat again, I think quietly and without bombacity and without trying to get a lot of headlines, I think the governor's people are aware of this situation. They have not said that there would not be an inquiry. They just said they have not received as yet indications that they, you know, need to go into that field. They very well might in the, you know, in either the near future or in a week or two or whenever. And if they do, I don't have any doubt in my mind that they'll do it right. But I don't think we ought to, you know, be assuming. Assuming, in a sense, a guilty verdict on this floor, just you know, on the basis of what we've seen so far. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further special orders? Representative Pettyjohn.
Mr. Speaker, if I just might reply very briefly to the prior speaker on his points.
Are there any objections? Briefly?
Very briefly, Mr. Speaker.
Proceed, Representative Pettyjohn.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people looking into what's going on in the North Slope Borough, but a lot of people, perhaps laymen, don't understand that the North Slope Borough does not have the authority to prosecute violations of state law, and neither does the FBI. That is the function of the Attorney General, and that is why he should be should have already conducted an investigation and announced he will conduct an investigation. It's not enough just to do the proper thing. You have to be perceived to be doing it, and there's no reason that I've been given yet why the immediate reaction from the administration shouldn't have been. There appears to have been some serious problems up there. We're going to give this matter a complete and thorough investigation. If there's any violations of state law, they'll be prosecuted with dispatch. That wasn't a reaction. And the wheels of justice not only need to grind, but they have to be perceived to be grinding. And I hope the Representative Spinard is right, and that we're all going to be given all the reassurance we need here. As far as the expense of a special prosecutor, we had a special prosecutor appointed 2 years ago with regard to the governor's trip outside to get money from the oil companies for his campaign. And I suggest that the circumstances around this situation are much, much more grievous. And finally, Mr. Speaker, and then I'll close, the representative from Juneau should look at the law. And the law says that the Attorney General is the governor's legal advisor. Anything that the governor does when he needs a lawyer, the Attorney General is his lawyer. He gives him legal advice. He does everything that a lawyer does. Now, in the governor's private life, dealing with his own finances or whatever other matters, certainly he'll have a private counsel. But with regard to his functions as chief executive of the state, he's got a lawyer. His lawyer is the attorney general. And it would be nice to think that there would never be a disparity or divergence between the best interests of Bill Sheffield and the best interests of the state of Alaska, but it is at least hypothetically possible. Thank you.
With the indulgence of this body, in the form of announcement, please try to save your daily calendars, because there's quite a few things that are up for reconsideration, and it would be helpful to the staff here if you could keep that on your desk. Any further special orders? Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, an additional announcement. The Legislative Budget and Audit meeting has been postponed because of the length of our session. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until Monday, 11 a.m., whatever date that is, the 11th.
Are there any objections? So ordered.